Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere.
What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Cholo, and I'm here with that snack, Poly Cupcakes.
What's up?
Caps fans, we've got an incredible episode for you today. The Hockey Cholo Hip Check is going to be talking about, you know, a lot of knee-jerk reactions that I've seen revolving around the Washington Capitals and their future. And let's dive into it. Polly, what are you going to be talking about? Snack time with Polly Cupcakes.
Some of the big...
Yeah?
Words. Some of the big trophies have had their finalists announced. So, we can talk about that.
Ooh, I can't wait. You know, and here's the thing about the NHL awards. They're all fucking bullshit, right? I mean, come on. Other than, like, the Art Ross, which is points, and then, you know, all of the stat-based ones, right? I mean, it's all hockey writers breaking their arms, jerking themselves off, yeah. Right? So, how much weight can you put in it? I don't know. I'm sure, and, you know, Carl was telling us, Carl Alsner, friend of the pod, shout-out Carl, he was telling us that, like, if you won any of these awards, you would get a bonus. So it's huge deals for the players.
Yeah.
And so if you look at it from that perspective, being snubbed from an award is just, like, shitting directly on the player in more than one way. It does kind of, you know, especially for, like, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing, like, Vezina for goalies is probably a big one. You know, Norris for defensemen, things like that. Still, like, a monetary gain that they've lost because of dickhead hockey writers.
Yeah.
Big J journalists, if you will. So I'm thinking, let's pop some tabs and get right into it.
Let's do it.
One, two, three.
I'm overjoyed. I'm brimming with enthusiasm for this pod. So, as you know, our Monday podcast is all about, like, what the Caps are doing in league news, and then Thursday, you're just at our mercy because, you know, we have really nothing else to talk about, but we record in one night, always on the Sunday before you hear any of our stuff. And the fucking Pittsburgh Penguins have lost their series in seven to the New York Rangers. Overtime PPG game-winning goal by the bread man himself, Panarin, with the Rocket kick. I hope he did the kick. I didn't watch the game. Fuck the Penguins. I fucking love to see it. I am so enthused now. You know, last episode, very, very droll. But, you know, this one, I'm bringing the heat. I'm bringing the energy. Polly, what do you think?
Your life has returned. Your lifeblood.
Well, you know, this has, like, a ton of ripple effects for me personally. And that's that I don't have to worry that the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to buy another cup or, you know, be gifted another cup as they've been gifted five already. You know, one thing you can say about the Washington Capitals is that they've earned their cups. Cup.
Yeah.
One. They've earned their cup. The Pittsburgh Penguins, their entire Crosby era has been a lie. Max Talbot should be Crosby. I mean, he should be. He's the only guy that won him the first cup. And, you know, I'm sure there were some things. Lemieux was probably involved paying off the Detroit Red Wings to, you know, I don't know, officials for sure.
I mean, he was able to buy the team while he was still a player. So obviously he had money to buy a cup.
Exactly. And then if you think about, the back-to-back ones, I mean, just riddled with terrible game-altering, series-altering calls. Sidney Crosby throwing a bottle on the ice and just getting butt taps from the fucking refs in the Pred series. You know, I mean, the quick whistle behind Matt Murray during that same series, unbelievable. Trash call, fucking terrible. I don't know. I mean, we could go into it, but this isn't a conspiracy podcast. I'm not trying to like tout any sort of conspiracies here. I'm just saying that this should be common knowledge.
Hockey trolls, red pill.
Right. Take the red pill or take the blue and continue to think that the Pittsburgh Penguins didn't get handed everything and that they're not a trash organization. You know, I mean, that there's so much to say negative about the Pittsburgh Penguins that people, I don't think, I mean, it's been kind of brushed under the rug. You know, you think about just off-ice antics. Like, I mean, they employ Casey DeSmith. That guy beat up his girlfriend and had to be in probation. Billy Tibbetts. Anybody remember that guy? You know, Mario Lemieux himself was implicated in a sexual assault. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. You do your own research. Let me know what you think.
You know, hockey trolls basically paraphrasing Glenn Beck. I'm just asking questions, America. Just
asking questions. And I'm not, you know, not to be in the same ilk as Glenn Beck by any fucking means. But, hey, you know what? Here's something crazy. Craig Granger. You remember Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out, Craig. How y'all living? Hopefully everything in New Orleans is good. Craig, I was down there in March. Saw the St. Paddy's Day parade. Hooked up with Bayou Benders. It was a good time, man. Hopefully you're doing good too, dude. Love the content. You gotta do more cooking shit, bro. Loved it. Every time. Gave it a like. All the time. Reshared it. All that shit. Hopefully you're doing good too, man. Man, I love New Orleans.
Yeah,
I know. Best city in America.
Oh, he came back. Preds coming are coming back
strong. Preds coming year. Back strong next year, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they put up a good series against the Avalanche. I know that it was a sweep. One of those games went to overtime.
Yeah.
You know, and those games were more competitive at a lot of points than the score showed. I think, I don't know anything about the age of the roster, but I think, you know, if they're keeping guys, they do have a pretty decent future ahead of them.
I mean, you're looking at a Predators roster that hasn't worked out in the past couple years, but, you know, after that time that with Laviolette and went to the finals, it was a huge time for the Preds. I would have loved to see them win. Are they down and out? Not by a long shot. They've got a ton of opportunity. You know, maybe shed a couple contracts. Who knows? All right, one last one. He's frying Craig Granger. I'm frying Gator and blacking a few Gator nuggets as well. Let's go.
Did you catch that Gator?
Get that tail meat, baby. Hey, look, Gator's amazing. And from what I hear, it's super healthy to eat as well.
I've only had it fried and just kind of tastes like popcorn chicken.
Yeah, I've had it fried. I've had it multiple times. I've also had it in like a stew, like kind of braised, which is really nice. Tastes like really mild pork. You know, I think the reptile class of food is highly underrated, bro.
Well, aside from gator, I mean, I don't know of any other reptiles that are regularly served.
Frogs.
That's amphibian.
Amphibian. But okay, you got me there.
Yeah.
You were
ready. I was ready.
You're fucking ready.
Yeah.
You're ready to just shut that shit down immediately.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Like, you calling a frog a reptile is like saying an ostrich is a mammal. Like, it doesn't fly and it looks hairy.
Okay, fine. You're right. I haven't, but I would eat an iguana.
Yeah. I'd try almost any animal.
Yeah. Try anything. About bugs. You into bugs?
I'd eat a bug.
I'd eat a bug too. I haven't had the opportunity, I don't think. Except for the times that, like, things fly in my mouth and I just eat them.
Yeah. Craig says turtle. Yeah. That's a good point.
Turtle. That's a good... Yep, I've had turtle. Turtle.
I've never had turtle.
All right, look. So, I was on a hunt, bro. When I was in New Orleans in March, on a hunt for turtle soup. And I finally got it. I had to go all the way back to Pensacola to get it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a New Orleans restaurant. Felix's. It was a Felix. It's a Felix's restaurant. Really good blackened oysters there. 100% recommend. I'm usually a raw guy. You know, I like the raw oysters, so.
Yeah.
But, you know. Hockey back in South Louisiana. Absolutely. I'd love to see it. You know, I can't believe that they called. I mean, honestly, though, the New Orleans Brass, is that what Bayou Menders said they were called? Amazing. Yeah. That would have been an amazing fucking NHL team.
ECHL team, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Right. ECHL. All right. Thanks for that Southern spice there, Craig. Nice to see you again, man. Hope you're doing good. Hockey Show Hip Check, you want to get right into the Caps?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
This is the Hockey Troll Hip Check.
All right. I'm here to lay the beat down on some people. Because here's the thing. We lost what is conceivably a close series. On paper, we should have got swept. Wouldn't you agree, Polly? Possibly.
Wait.
On
swapped?
Paper. Swept.
Swept. Okay. Confused. Yeah. I mean, getting swept in that series wouldn't have been a huge surprise.
Correct. Now, we didn't get swept. The Panthers, our young team, gave us lots of opportunity to win, right?
Yep.
To win it all. But we didn't. We had the opportunity. We blew it. And I think that really kind of like twists the knife a little bit more, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, if this was a sweep, I wonder what Caps Twitter would say. Because right now what they're saying is we need to trade Backstrom. Of course there's a John Carlson trade. Get him out of here. And then there's the, of course, the ever-present John Carlson needs to go. And, you know, it all revolves around Ovi, getting him another cup or whatever it may be, which kind of seems like, you know, counterintuitive a little bit to me. Also, weirdly enough, there hasn't been a lot of, like, let's put a goaltender's head on a stake.
Well, I mean, hockey Twitter adores both goalies.
Yeah, which is stupid.
Or Caps Twitter.
Right, Caps Twitter, which is dumb. I mean, look, our goaltenders are one iota above mediocre as a tandem together. You combined all both of their efforts, both of them together are a above average goaltender today, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, 32 teams. Maybe
right.
They're 14th best.
Right. Together.
Yeah.
Now, I think, let's just put it out there. At the very least, Kempney comes off the books. Schultz comes off the books. That's a combined $6.5 million of cap space next year that we have.
Yeah.
Right now. Cap's supposed to go up a million-ish, which is fucking criminal. I mean, you know, put that under the players getting screwed column due to COVID, you know, whatever. I'd love to see the books to see how they justify that, considering they just signed like a $1 billion deal with the fucking TV network here, ESPN.
Two big ones.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, I guess that, you know, ticket sales are terrible now, but if you look across the arena, minus Florida, it looks like tickets, you know, fans are out in droves.
I don't know. Florida had a lot of people there.
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. But come on, remember, like, the regular season games look like a fucking Nailers game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you get. Non-traditional market.
Sure, but I mean, I think they're the worst. I mean, if you even look at Phoenix, or I do it every time, Arizona. If you look at Arizona, they're still...
Yeah, I mean,
it's a bad team, but they got a following.
They're doing so well that they're going to play in a 5,000-seat arena.
I knew you were going to go there. I mean, you know what, though?
Hey, they'll sell that out.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, though. If you had the opportunity to watch a NHL game in a max cap 5,000, which is probably going to be more like 4,300 because they're going to eliminate seats because they're not NHL quality seats. If you had the opportunity to do that, you can't tell me you wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be electric.
I'm of the mind that this is an amazing point in history. If somebody came to me, you know, I'm just going to put this out there. Somebody came to me like, yo, road trip, week-long road trip, let's go to Arizona and let's watch a game in the ASU arena. I'd be down. I'd probably take vacay time for that, honestly. Paulie, we should do that, honestly.
You know, and it might even benefit ASU a little.
Fuck yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
The fact that people are going to go to ASU games anyway.
Bro, they're going to build like a 5,000 square foot addition. Like the team is going to build a 5,000 square foot addition to the college's arena for like locker rooms, training facilities, all that shit.
And then that'll be there once they leave.
Yeah. ASU is like just doing amazing off this deal.
You know, and they became a team in D1 because some anonymous donor just threw like 34 of the 36 required million.
We talked to fucking Corey Crenshaw and Richie Flores, Dick Flo, of the Sporty with Corey and Richie podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. They rep the Arizona Coyotes. And they were talking about when they were in college, which was when we were in college. Well, when Corey was in college, which was when we were in college. ASU was, like, popping off. We should have fucking, like, tried to get on that team, bro. We probably could have... I mean, come on.
They were playing D1 club.
Yeah, but, like, come on. We could have scrubbed it up on, like, a fucking Black Diamond. I could have been the, like, ninth forward. You could have been, like, the tenth forward.
Yeah.
You could have been... All right. I could have been, like, the... No, no. I could have been, like... Sorry, not ninth. The 12th. I could have been the 12th forward. You could have been, like, the 12th, 11th forward. Or we could have been, like, the, like...
5 and 6 D?
Let's say 8, 9 D.
Yeah, 8, 9. We play if people get hurt.
Exactly. Right,
well,
exactly.
We dress if people get hurt.
Boom.
Yeah. We don't touch the ice.
I think we could have done it.
I don't know.
No?
I played some high school hockey with guys who played D1 club. Mm. You know, guys like on my team and a couple other local schools.
Yeah.
And
keep in mind, this is Arizona.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, they played for WVU and they made nationals. And Arizona had a good enough program that they were confident enough to go D1. Like, you don't jump to D1 unless your D1 club is successful.
All right, I'm totally, like, overestimating everything here. I'm just trying to, like, primarily because Corey said that, like, the hockey team is, like, the coolest sports team on campus.
Well, yeah.
I mean, she's partial. Pretty sure she's engaged to one of the hockey players. But at the same time... At the same time, man.
I think about their hockey program and everything when I was watching Ted 2.
Yeah.
And she was like, she's their lawyer. And they're like, where'd you get your degree? And she says, ASU. And they're like, no wonder you're doing it for free.
You know, there's a lot of, you know what? I think Washington Capitals, fact check this for me. Washington Capitals' very own Samantha Pell went to ASU.
Really?
Beat writer for the Washington Post. Super successful. And has done an incredible job. So, anyways, let's just... Okay, sorry, we went on it. as per tradition, went way back on a fucking weird tangent here. But let's look at some of... Sam
Powell went to ASU.
Sam Powell went to ASU?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, she's alum. And that's, you know, like I said, here's the thing, though. What would it have been like to be at a school that actually put money into your fucking sport? That would have been amazing, huh? We didn't enjoy that.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, here's a rink. Fuck, we couldn't even get a field for lacrosse at West Lib. Shout out West Lib, you fucking bums.
Yeah, right. I mean, our college hockey experience was one practice a week, if we were lucky, if we had the money, at a local rink that was 20 minutes away.
Right.
And then off ice conditioning in the gym at 9 o'clock at night.
No one did that. I didn't do that. I was a captain. I didn't do that.
Yeah, some of the guys came, gave effort, showed they wanted to be there.
Actually, I was fucking in the weight room, bud. I was doing real work, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
All right, whatever.
I'm still really proud of the drill I came up with when we all were doing wall sits in a line.
Uh-huh.
And the first person would run a sprint down and back.
Yeah.
And then the next person would go, and we had to stay in a wall sit the entire time.
That's a good one.
It is. And because I came up with it, I was like, I'll be at the end of the line. I'll do the wall sit the longest without a break.
There you go, Cappy.
Yeah, it's what Captain's got to do. But
way to set the example.
It was a good conditioning thing. I mean,
it is.
Yeah, so that's our hockey experience.
Well, yours.
But no, I mean, that was, you know, that's the difference between ASU. You know, they... They went from...
They probably had, like, a fucking sick-ass, like, weight room and shit, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on, we could have at least played club there. Like, before... Like, yeah, okay, D1 club, but, like, before they were, like, bona fide.
Yeah, first couple years.
Yeah, and that's where we would have aged out.
Yeah. Okay. So...
We fucked up.
Yeah,
all we did. We fucked it all up.
So let's reel this back in.
Yeah, well, sorry. We're chasing the dream here, but... 2018 roster. Let's just take a look at it, okay? And this is off of Hockey Reference, an amazing fucking website. You should definitely check it out, obviously. Barry Trotz, the coach, 49-26-7. 2017-18 Stanley Cup champions. Goals for, 9th of 31. 259. Seems pretty low. Goals against, 239. So only a 20-plus goal differential. Just as a refresher, Florida had a 100 goal differential this season, okay? Things were different 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when this was going on. There was, you know, we were emerging from the second dead puck era, I would say. But I think that goals have been absolutely changed up and coming in way more numbers than they have in the past this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and just good to see. You know, good to see. And, you know, preseason odds, they give it to them. I don't know, Stanley Cup plus 1125. That's not good odds, is it? Plus 1125 preseason?
No, I think that means... If you would bet $100, you'd win $1,125.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's not very good.
No, it's poop. They won the first round 4-2 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Won the second round 4-2 in the Pittsburgh Penguins. Fuck them. Won the conference finals against Tampa Bay 4-3. Of course, we're the underdog in every single series here, except for Columbus, I believe, but we ended up winning in Columbus. And then wins the final 4-1 over the Vegas Knights, who were the higher seed at this point. So we won every single series away. You know, not a hugely important detail, but interesting enough. I looked down the roster here. Now, I don't think I need to tell you how old the Washington Capitals are this year, but let's look at it. Jay Beagle, one of the older players on the team, who was pivotal in that run, and in all of the Capitals' success throughout his career, all the way from the ECHL to the NHL, the only player in history to have won the Calder, Kelly, and Stanley Cup. 32 years old at this point. he's the old head, right? Nick Backstrom, he's age 30 at this point. Madison Bowie, 22, didn't see a lot of ice. Travis Boyd, 24, also didn't see it. Andre Burakovsky, remember that guy, Paulie?
Yeah, got his jersey.
Yep. He's 22 this year in the 2018 Cup. Alex Chiasson. he was a deadline acquisition, I believe, 27 years old. Taylor Chorney, old head at this point, 30. We're looking at Brett Connolly. You remember Brett Connolly? Brett Connolly did not look his age. He looked probably about 30 if I'd have seen him on the streets. 25, right winger. Okay. Kristen Juice, 23. The juice is loose, if you remember that. Lars Eller, 28, in his prime. Linchpin to the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Lars Eller. Shane Gersich, 21. Tyler Graovac, 24. Again, these are probably mostly black diamonds during the run, but, you know, we're going to go through it. I'm going line by line. Braden Holtby, 28, prime. Jacob Jerebek, 26. Interesting stuff. Michael Kempney, huge part of that team, right? Had a breakout year. He was a reclamation project defenseman. Ended up playing big minutes for the Caps and capitalizing both on the offensive and defensive side. He's 27. He's actually going to be a free agent this year. Evgeny Kuznetsov, 25. Aaron Ness, I was never a big fan of Aaron Ness. He's 27 at this point. Matt Niskanen, remember Niski?
Yeah.
31. Liam O'Brien, 23. Dmitry Orlov, one of the best men, as now Caps fans have finally respected him. He is, many are claiming, one of the most underrated defensemen in the league. 26. Brooke Sorpik, outlier, 37. Big Brooks, incredible season that season, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Resurgent season. TJ Oshie, a bit of a veteran there, 31. Alexander Ovechkin, ever heard of him, 32. Anthony Peluso, I can't believe he made the fucking roster, 28. I wonder if he got a ring. But here we go. Here's some meat and potatoes that I'm trying to get at. Devontae Smith-Pelly, now not in the league anymore, 25. Chandler Stephenson, at this point, is 23. He's now, you know, rearing up on 30, and he's playing, you know, first-line minutes in Vegas. I don't believe he's a first-line center, but he is, nonetheless, at least a second-line center on that team. Jacob Vrana, 21. Nathan Walker gets on the list, 23. Tom Wilson, St. Thomas himself. Guess how old he was during this run?
24.
23. That's a lot of young piss and vinegar on the front line here, mm-hmm. or across the entire roster, I'd say.
Yeah.
Now, through this run, I mean, think about it, man. Our fourth line was so pivotal. We had Jay Beagle, and, you know, Verana and Devontae Smith-Pelly and all of these guys just like pitching in hardcore. We end up winning. Nobody was ever going to see that coming. And we had a good mismatch during that whole matchup. And then our stars showed up. The stars truly aligned to make this 2018 Stanley Cup win happen, right? Mm-hmm. That's how rare it is. So what pisses me off is seeing people that just say, yeah, let's free up Backstrom's $9 million in cap space, which would leave the Caps, what, $15.5 to work with in next season. Let's trade away Backstrom for some other piece where, you know, and right, keep in mind, if you didn't know, Nicholas Backstrom is a fucking center, the hardest thing and the most expensive thing to have in the NHL, right? If you're going to get on a free agency. Let's get some guy, like, you know, somebody told me on Twitter, Carter Verhaeghe ruined us, and he's making half of Nicholas Backstrom. Well, Carter Verhaeghe's best season is like a 51-point season he had this year. And could he be a 100-point guy at some point, maybe? Nick Backstrom's hit the 100-point mark several times in his career.
Yeah.
It's very rare to see Nick Backstrom score less than 70 points when he's healthy. Yeah. It's a big caveat in the healthy, especially now. But at the same time, yeah, you're right. Half the player, half the salary, half the performance. Right?
Yeah.
Having these knee-jerk reactions and trying to compare to a team that's literally like 4 years older now is asinine.
It is. And, you know, it's, you know, to that point, it's ridiculous to compare individual players. You know, to say, get Verhaeghe, give up Backstrom, and it's like, well, you know, you're seeing him in his prime, so you're having like a distorted image.
Right.
And they're not going to make that trade.
No.
It's just, it's not logical thinking.
If the Florida Panthers lost in that series, they wouldn't make that trade.
No.
And here's another thing that I want to talk about. If you look at this graphic right here, I know Caps fans, this is the Washington, it was very artsy and crafty and did what I think are actually really fucking good. And it's not just me organizing it. It's mostly the Washington Post. And there's one over there with Holpe's save as like the centerpiece. The Washington Post, and I made a point to get to DC, get some Washington Post newspapers. Every time I go down for like a big game, I like to like get a newspaper there, because while print may be dead to some people, I think that it's like a really good, you know, it's still a very supported media. So like, if you go anywhere and you think that like something big is going to happen, like buy the newspaper every day that you're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you're going for a sporting event especially. So what I did is like the days that I was, you know, there after the cup, I tried to get like the day before papers and everything else. And goddamn, did the Washington Post do which is one of the beacons of light, is like right with they're an incredible publication as a newspaper, which is a dying thing in the United States. Just, you know, trying to put it out there, trying to give love to my print media. But 16 players, they did an amazing, huge spread over like one of the only teams that had won a championship at DC over like the past two decades. 16 players they had on that fucking roster built through the draft.
That's how you do it.
It's madness, right? But and if you look at it, to build a Stanley Cup winning team, you cannot buy it. The New York Rangers have tried that forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time that it happened was when Gretzky and Messier, the two best players of all time, maybe, in a 1-2 punch, were there, right?
I don't think they won with Gretzky there. I think Messier won without him.
Really?
Yeah, Messier has two more cups than Gretzky.
That's right.
One in Edmonton and New York.
I mean, further proves my point, right? I mean, even if you buy the best player in the fucking world, and I'm not talking about Sidney Crosby, I'm talking about the bona fide best player in the fucking world, you're not guaranteed to win a fucking cup. Even if the Washington Capitals today were to stymie the problems, which are more pervasive, I believe, than just Nick Backstrom or John Carlson or one of them, right? Even if you were to like switch them out with Hedman and, I mean, who's the best center? McDavid or Draisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's an insta-lock for even a second round win. Do you, Polly?
I mean, look at how much trouble the Oilers have had with McDavid and Draisaitl having success.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to build through the draft. You have to find these deals on players. If you don't, I mean, you have to have these guys who get paid nothing and overperform like shit. And I'm talking your Jay Beagles. I'm talking your Devontae Smith-Pelly's. I'm talking your Jacob Verana. I'm talking your Andre Burakovsky's. At these times, in their contract years, at the time that we won, they were getting paid shit for what the players that they either washed out of the league or eventually became somebody. I mean, Andre Burakovsky in the playoffs just shot a puck through the fucking net. Yeah. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Fucking, that's amazing. That's amazing. That is like the all-time biggest flex ever, especially during an NHL game.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that, like, the if you are on the train of, oh, we just need to like make some one or two changes and, you know, whatever it may be, you're fucked in the head. It's never happened that way. It hasn't happened that way in the past 20 years. I cannot think of a single team off the top of my head drunk and things like that. But Polly, can you think of a team that like was just like, oh, we had a couple like free agent acquisitions. We broke up the core. I mean, whenever a team generally breaks up the core that they've settled on for the past decade and a half, it's disastrous. They get out of the playoffs for about 3 years and then they come back in maybe stronger than ever, but likely not.
Yeah. I mean,
I think the Lightning are a really good example. They built that team through the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Thought they had it for 4 or 5 years. Didn't have it. When everybody counted them out, they go off for two. Washington Capitals built their team through the draft. You know, had it or didn't. No pressure. 2018, they win.
Yeah.
Is my rant falling on deaf ears?
Oh, we won't know until we see our numbers.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I mean, what do you think, man? I mean, are you in agreeance, or do you think that the Washington Capitals are like a goaltender and a center away from winning a cup?
No.
Me neither, man. I cannot see it.
I think a goaltender might get him in the second round.
Sure.
That's about it.
The last thing I want from the Washington Capitals is to be a Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
Hey, we made the playoffs. You know, we have the longest standing playoff streak in NHL history. Yay. And now look at the Red Wings. Their rebuild is well on its way, don't get me wrong. But they've spent the past 5 years in fucking purgatory.
Yeah, they really have.
I mean, it's bad. I'd rather sustain our competitiveness. You know, I think the Caps fans of this era, I mean, think about it, man. Like, we've been watching hockey for, like, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
25 for me. If you take, fuck, more than 25 for me, Jesus Christ. I'm old. But if you take it out, you know, if you look at, like, maybe the younger crowd now that's, like, watching hockey, they've maybe been watching, like, 5, 6 years, 10 years even, it's just the Ovi era. So you've seen, like, this buildup and this breakdown. The only team that I've followed that I've been old enough to understand what a rebuild looks like is the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
The highest of highs. The best of best series against the Red Wings, man. I mean, think about that. I mean, these are all-time classics. They'll never leave my mind. And then, you know, you get into the years with the Stars, and then we get a decline, and then Patrick Waugh missing a Statue of Liberty, and like, fuck me. And then from there, it's over, and they're not even a playoff team. For what? How many years did the Avs miss playoffs after their heyday?
Well, I think Sakic stuck around till maybe like, I want to say he was there till like 07 or something like that. I don't know. I think they had like a 5, 6, 7 year
drought.
I mean, because they had quite a few lottery picks. I mean,
they picked first a couple years, didn't they?
Yeah, they got Duchesne.
Yeah.
They got Landeskog, Burkowski, Rantanen,
yeah.
McKinnon. I mean, those are all top five picks.
Number ones. Yeah. Yeah. And you look at it, I think that it's pretty easy to say that in the 90s, the Colorado Avalanche were a bona fide dynasty.
Yeah. I mean,
what, two cups, three cups?
Well, they had 96 and 01.
Right. And they were in the mix every year.
Yeah, I mean, they were going to conference finals or losing the second round to the Red Wings.
Right.
Who would eventually win the cup.
Yeah. Close to a dynasty. Red Wings are probably more a dynasty in that sense.
Yeah.
Possibly in that year.
I mean, that string, it was either Colorado, Detroit, or New Jersey.
Right. And then slip in a couple Dallas.
Dallas. Dallas did get that one.
Yeah. I mean, an incredible time to watch hockey, though, seriously. before this. And then there's like people that have never experienced that, and they don't know that. And then like the Washington Capitals now are maybe the Dallas or the Avalanche of the 90s. We've seen now a all-time great historical player in Ovechkin get drafted, then Backstrom. You know, we had some bad years, right, where we get the first round pick, and then now like the first overall, and then now we're like here, the twilight of their careers. And honestly, Caps fans, you should be fucking thankful that we've been this competitive for this fucking long. It's been the entire Ovechkin era minus two seasons.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as an Avalanche fan myself, I fell in love with them as a kid, 01 Cup. They stayed competitive for a couple years. I grinded it out for my more formidable years.
Yeah.
Formidable years.
Formidable, yeah.
And now they're back up on the come. You know, it's the way hockey goes. It's the way sports go. And, you know, you'll get through it. It's
right.
Okay.
And to bring it full circle, is that with a cap system, it is almost, and you know, of course we talked about like what pre-cap hockey here, but even in pre-cap hockey, it kind of like goes with it. You need your star, and you need to develop from the draft killers, right? Guys who are going to overperform their salary.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of guys on the Washington Capitals right now that are overperforming their salary.
Me neither.
All that to say, I think that the Washington Capitals' first move here is to figure out goaltending. I'm not the pile-on goalie guy blamer, but I think that there could be room to move away from, unfortunately, I feel like it's going to be VTech.
Yeah.
Probably. Get a veteran in to coach and mentor Samsonov.
That seems like the logical move.
Samsonov did have a bit of a coming out party this playoffs where he is talking, you know, where he showed maybe where he could be in a few years. And I saw a tweet that if you look all the way back to the 80s, like the, you know, Defoe, Kulzig, you know, all the way up from Ollie the goalie, and we've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast about how good the Washington Capitals have been over the past 20 plus years with their goaltending, drafting right, getting the good goalies in, taking some maybe like lower guys who could develop. And if you look at it, it's just been like a dog eat dog world, which is good. It's worked out in our favor from basically Kulzig all the way up to Holtby. That didn't really happen with Samsonov. He bucked the system. He was the golden child coming in, right?
Yeah.
And as I've said, I'm out on Sammy until he can win the net. I think in this playoff series, he did. If we're going to boil it down, he did. He won the net, right?
Yeah, probably.
Who knows what happens next season? He could come to fucking camp fat as fuck and out of shape, and first three prackies, he blows a hammy because he did nothing over the offseason.
It'd be great if he didn't.
Exactly. Because I think the first thing that they need to do is move away from whatever goaltending situation they have. I think that's like the number one thing. And good teams always build from the net out. The defense, we're going to free up some guys, some cap with Kempney and Schultz probably just not getting re-signed. That's 6.5 there. You could probably bring up some guys from Hershey, give them a chance. I think they did well. Same with the, and then, you know, I think our top six and our top four are solid. The rest gets kind of, can you prove yourself, right?
Yeah.
All right. I've babbled enough.
Yeah, it's my turn to talk.
Exactly. Hockey fans, the pursuit of the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets, no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs? With DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Polly, I'm hungry.
Let's do it. It's snack time with Polly Cupcakes. All right. We're going to talk about the awards.
Well, wait. What is your... I want to hear your take on the NHL awards.
I want the guys I root for to win them.
Yeah, but do you... I mean...
Okay, so... I think this year's nominees in some of these categories do, I think, go a little more to what they should be. But okay. I think stats are important, but you need more of a full picture. Like, when Taylor Hall won the Hart, I think that was a good thing to do. Because
Fuck
I think
yeah.
he was either third or tied with MacKinnon in points. Maybe he was second, but
right.
it was MacKinnon, McDavid, and Hall. But Hall, you know, drug New Jersey into the playoffs that year.
Kicking and screaming.
Yeah. So he absolutely was the MVP. You know, I don't think, like, the MVP. It shouldn't be just the guy who looked the best and had the best stats. I think right. it should be who had top of the league stats, but also a larger share of his point team's points than anyone else.
I've heard it described as, if that player wasn't on your team, would you have done what you did? Like, would you have gotten to the playoffs? Would you have even placed as high? Like, whatever. And so I think that kind of tracks what you're saying, right?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like, the stats aren't there. But for Nathan MacKinnon, you know, it doesn't make much sense for the MVP to come from the Colorado Avalanche. Or the Florida Panthers.
Because both of those teams were stacked to the fucking gills.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. And, well, do you respect the sports journalists that vote on it, right? Because that's... So tell me how it's create... Like, is it... It's sports journalists for a lot of it. That writers, hockey writers, really, that get a vote for this stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's like media thing.
I think the award that has the most weight is the Ted Lindsay, because that's the MVP voted on by the players.
Right.
So that one means the most to me,
yeah.
I'd say. I mean, I think they're all important and valid.
Sure.
You know, the only exception, I think, from my rule, what I just said about the Hart, even if a team was really great, if, say, you know, you had 30 points more than the next guy,
right?
Even if you're on a good team, well, then you're obviously the MVP. Yeah, but yeah. if the numbers are close, I think you have to look at the whole picture there.
Right. And to be clear, like, these are, for anybody who's not familiar with the NHL awards, these are the... like league awards of the league, so the best of the league of the NHL, not of like team awards, which
right.
are constantly handed out. I don't even know all of the team awards that are internal that happen. Right.
Right. Yeah. These are league bests.
Right.
Cool. So we'll start with the Hart, which is the more traditional and what gets the more attention MVP award, and that is Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, and Igor Shesterkin. So, you know, it's nice to see a goalie in here.
Dude, I was just going to say, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. The goalie is never... They get one award, the Vezina.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of like having someone who plays defense get nominated for the Heisman. You know, it's like, thank you for putting someone besides a quarterback in there.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. Fuck, yeah. I mean, it's rare to even get like a running back to win the Heisman sometimes.
Right.
You know, yeah.
You know, and so McDavid, he led the league in points.
Yeah.
And he was 8 points ahead of the second place, Huberdeau. Huberdeau was on the President's Trophy winning team, Oilers, not quite so successful.
Right.
I mean, I think that leads to a legit nomination.
I mean, Huberdeau had 115 points, though. Total, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy even... I mean, you know, you think McDavid's going to blow it out in 123. That is insane. He's already got the Art Ross locked.
Yeah.
Because it's like a stat-based thing.
Yeah, there's no opinion.
Right. But, like, if... And then what, Matthews with the goals, right? Second?
Yeah, so he leads the goals with 60. Next guy, Draisaitl, with 55. So, you know, I mean, you could look at that and say, Matthews leads the league, and the guy behind him was McDavid, or was assisted a lot by McDavid. So, does Draisaitl do this without McDavid? Does that make Matthews, you know, does that give him an edge up? But then also, does that lead to McDavid helped Draisaitl be second in goals?
Right.
So does that add to his MVP?
Yes, because without McDavid, where would Draisaitl be?
Probably like 43.
Right. You know what, man? Like, but, okay, so, and then I think about it more as like, again, who's going to be the most important to their team? I think the MVP should go to Shesterkin. 207 goals against, and then a 935 save percentage, second in shutouts with 7. Markstrom had 9. Yeah. You look at the you look at the New York Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins series that they, you know, by the way, I don't know if you heard it on the top of the show, lost. But the New York Rangers won against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Shesterkin got pulled once, I think, during that series. But at the same time, you look at this and you look at that gameplay, the defense of the New York Rangers, and I didn't realize this before, is god fucking awful. They're terrible. I mean, they can't keep track of a fucking mouse in their pocket, dude. It's insane. I for some reason I didn't realize that when we played them 4 times during the season. But you look at like probably the more the advanced stats probably just make the case for Shesterkin even stronger.
Yeah. I mean, you know, leading probably the two most important goalie categories.
Right.
That's huge.
And being second in the third.
Yeah. So, who is your heart pick?
Dude, I gotta go with Shesterkin here, man. I'm gonna be honest. And honestly, it's because I have a big heart on for high-performing goalies.
Yeah.
Along with that. Because I love to see that them, like, have a little bit of fucking credit. McDavid, he's gonna win the Art Ross. It's very rare that you see somebody... You have to be incredible to win the Art Ross and the Hart at the same time. Yeah. Right? I think Ovi's done it. Crosby's done it, and McDavid probably has done it before as well. But I feel like when McDavid wins it, it's just because his team's trash.
True.
You know? And then you look at Huberdeau. Okay. The way that I would rank it is Shesterkin, Huberdeau, close second, and then like...
Oh, Huberdeau's not nominated.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Matthews.
I put Huberdeau in there for reference.
My bad. I think Huberdeau got snubbed here.
I don't think so, because it was a President's Trophy team.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, I don't think Austin Matthews even belongs in the conversation. Yeah, he got 60 fucking goals. He's got a Richard. Whatever. Honestly, now that I'm looking at this more with like a moment of clarity out of my drunkenness, I'm thinking, like, it's Shesterkin, hands down. It's not even close.
Well, you won me over. I was going to say McDavid.
Really?
Just because, not before the segment, I wouldn't have.
Really?
But as we talked about it more, and I talked about how he put Draisaitl into second in goals.
Right.
It got me thinking. But you won me over. I'm going Shesterkin. And so for the Ted Lindsay, the MVP voted by players, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Roman Josi, who led he had the most points among defensemen, 96, 10 more than the second, which was Makar with 86. 96 as a defenseman, number 8 seed. I think Josi should probably get Ted Lindsay.
And Ted Lindsay's what?
The player's voted MVP.
Yeah, the player's MVP. Tell me that. Tell me the names again.
Matthews, McDavid, Josi.
See, here I feel like McDavid has a stronger case because the guys have to go up to get, like, because he's made so many fucking players in this league look fucking stupid. So I'm going to go McDavid.
Well, yeah, and they're going to vote on who's wowed them.
Exactly, right? Like, who's the guy that I'm going to, like, go to sleep and then, like, wake up, like, 30 minutes after I fall, like, straight up asleep, and then, you know, wake up.
Well, and it is described as the most outstanding player. So, you know, that's, I guess that would go along with what you're saying there.
Right. Other than that, though, I think Roman Josi has been one of the most underrated defensemen, even though he's won a Vezina and all the shit. Like, he is so fucking consistent and so fucking good. You know, the Nashville Predators have built the team around him, really, as they should.
Yeah.
And they should continue to do that. So, is that your pick?
Yeah. I mean, I almost think Josi should maybe be the Hart winner, and Shesterkin should win the Ted Lindsay.
Yeah, well, how many times have you ever seen a fucking defenseman win the Hart?
True. Never. Very rare.
Right. It's stupid, but it happens.
Well, and so that takes us into the Norris.
Yeah.
Victor Hedman, shocker.
Mm.
Roman Josi, Cale Makar. You know, we've talked about this award before, about how it's almost like that's not always the guy from that season. It's a defenseman who's put in his time.
Right.
Like, a lot of times the Norris is kind of like how people get big contracts after they're past their prime. They're getting paid for past performance.
Of course.
That's kind of what happens with the Norris, I think. You know, Hedman, he's the second in assists among D-men, 65, third in points. Josi had 10 more than Makar to lead D in points. Makar had the most goals, second most points. I mean, I
and Makar was snubbed last year because Adam Fox won it.
Makar was snubbed last year. I think Josi has won before.
He has. Josi has a Norris, and so Hedman has like three.
And I think with this award, it should be their points totals. I know you don't like this stat, but I think plus minus should be factored in for D-men. Maybe some of the advanced analytics. You know, I think especially for the Norris more than the Hart and the Ted Lindsay, they should factor in more stats here. Maybe even, you know, hits, blocked shots, things like that. I think Josi could win. Makar's my pick.
Makar's my pick.
I was just texting earlier with my buddy Mike Vanny. Shout out.
Shout out, Vanny.
And you know, talking, he jokingly was like, Huberto over Ovi. I was like, yeah, well, Huberto over the entire East right now.
Right.
No, I said, it's Verhaeghe over the East right now.
Right.
But I was like, you know, Makar has been the most dominant player in the playoffs so far.
Well, here's the thing. The reason that they put these out in the first round is because the writers are not supposed to envision the playoffs.
True.
It's only a regular season award, and this is why they do it now. I still think Makar wins.
Yeah, and I think,
and because here's the thing, both of these guys, Hedman and Josi, have won Norris before. Josi probably deserves more than or as many as Hedman, but got snubbed a couple years. I'm not worried about the points. I think that the most incredible part about Makar is the dude had almost 30 fucking goals and 86 points. So he's not just a goal guy getter. It's not just a forward playing D. He's got the shot. And if you've ever seen any of these guys play, Hedman and Yossi are both like more subtle players. Makar, when he's on the ice, I mean, you just fucking know it.
Well, and that's the point I was going at before you so rudely interrupted
sorry.
Me.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm kidding. I know it's not a playoff award, but, right. You know, he had 10 points in a 4-game sweep. You know, that wasn't new. You know, like you said, you know, and people would probably not like hearing this and really disagree with me. I think Cale Makar is the most game-changing and dominant player in the NHL.
Ooh, bold move.
I know Connor McDavid can control a game, but Makar plays a complete 200-foot game. He will bust his ass back on a back check, break up the play. You know, there was one play, I think it was still at the regular season. He back checked, laid down, broke up a play, took the puck down the other end, and either scored or set it up.
You don't see that anymore today's defenseman. You really don't.
I mean, he plays like a shutdown mixed with an offensive defenseman. Like, he is the entire full package. I mean, McKinnon is still a very strong, dominant player out there.
Yeah.
But I think Makar outshines McKinnon when they're playing together. And, you know, I think Makar at some point should be a Ted Lindsay nominee. And, yeah, I mean, I think Makar is, he should win this. He's the dominant player.
Sim for Makar.
Yeah. I mean,
Pauly Cupcakes.
This is a 29-year-old man crushing on a 23-year-old.
Dude, I'm with you. And let me think about it. Like, how many fucking years does he have left?
A lot.
You're going to build a team around this kid.
Yeah, for sure. And, I just lost something I was going to say. But, you know, Makar, he's special, and he makes me happy. So going on to the Calder, not the Calder Cup, which is the championship of the AHL, but the Calder Trophy, which is given to the rookie MVP, Rookie of the Year, and that is Michael Bunting, Moritz Seider, and Trevor Zegras. Everybody knows who Trevor Zegras is. You know, he's the Michigan guy. Pulling off the lacrosse goals. I think he has 2 this year in the NHL. Insanity. So I guess we'll start there. Zegras. He was 2nd in points among rookies. 61. Not a bad rookie year. 3rd in goals, 23. And that made him 3rd in assists with 38. I think it'd be hard to beat him, because he's gotten so much media attention, and I think he's kind of the darling among rookies right now. Seider, I mean, 4th in points, but 1st in assists. I mean, you know, 50 points, only 7 of those were goals. I think that does not work in his favor. Yes, right. It's great that he led in assists, but the fact that he wasn't putting the goals in, I think, puts him number 3 out of the top 3. And then Bunting, 26-year-old dude.
It's a Kaprizov sitch.
It is, you know, and I know I've seen some videos of people saying, like, they should put an age limit on the rookie because it's, you know, by the time some of these guys break in, they're grown men, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, not only that, they've played like 5 years of pro in Russia.
Yeah. but, you know, so this guy's 26. He was drafted in 14. Didn't play in the NHL until 2018 with Arizona. From then until 2021, he had only played 26 games. So he was still under the limit so that he hadn't technically played a rookie season.
Yeah,
he ended up 1st in points and 2nd in goals, 2nd in assists. So, you know, he's the 2nd best in the 2 main categories. That combined makes him number one overall. I think this guy should win, but like I was saying, Zegras is the darling.
You mean you think, okay, so you think Bunting should win?
Yeah.
Because, so here's the thing about Calder. I agree with your assessment. I think it's like always, who's got the most points of the rookies, and they win, right?
Yeah.
I think, are we going with want or think? I think I want Sider to win. The dude's come out, he's a big guy, he hits, and now, what position does Sider even fucking play? Is he a winger?
I believe so.
Yeah. So, having, like, that big motherfucking winger is, like, so Detroit right now. Like, if you think about it, like, having that guy to lay the body, and it would also just be a dick and fucking score. Just insult to injury there. Amazing for that club. Bunting, 26-year-old on Toronto, I believe, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Paulie, you and I could score 10 points in the NHL on that squad.
Yeah. I mean, he did play, I think, maybe between Matthews and Marner, or with.
Yeah. Them. Right.
Yeah. So, and then, I mean, yeah, I'd like Bunting to win. I think Zegras wins.
Right. And then here's the thing. Zegras, second in points. All right. The showboat goal, amazing. Don't get me wrong. Good stuff. I'm going to be honest. I just cannot get over Zegras' most punchable face in the NHL.
Yeah.
If I saw Trevor Zegras in person, I would say, "What's up, dude? Like, you have the most punchable face in the NHL. Can I punch it?" And he would say no. And I'd be like, okay.
Well, you know, either him or Matthews is going to be wearing the C for Team USA someday. So, you know, you got to pick one.
Matthews.
Yeah. You like him better?
Shitstash Matthews, for sure. Better.
I
mean, what the fuck, man? Why does the USA have to have the biggest douchebag core?
Those guys, Kane, fuck.
God damn it, man. I mean, and look, Trevor Zegras, he's going to be good for the game. He's going to really come into it. But, you know, like I said earlier in the season, I would love to just see Trevor Zegras get non-injured on, like, the most embarrassing helicopter hip check play. Like, I'd love to see Orlov just, like, lift him do, like, a full, like, Duchesne entire somersault, like, fully extended. Not, like, I'm bent in. Like, fully extended. Like, just woof, woof. And then just fall flat on his back, be completely fine, but totally embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know. He reminds me of, like, a Tiggy. Well, but, like, even more douchey. More douchey than Tiggy.
Well, Tig, Juicebox Pod, hope you're listening.
Shout out, Tiggy.
Troll just called you out.
But Tiggy's not, like, a douche, so, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, Tig can do a lot of goofy shit with the puck.
So no doubt.
It's, you know, it's a pretty good comparison style play.
Exactly, right. And
except Tig will mix it up.
Zegras. Right, but I feel like Zegras is just kind of like a little child, man, little baby out there.
Oh, don't hit me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, when Jay Beagle fucked up everybody, and then he was just like, Jay Beagle, he's a bad guy. I don't like him. It's just a classless play. He should be embarrassed. It's like, bro, you went in there after the whistle and then fucking, like, had hands up. What do you want here? Like, if you're going to fucking play. I don't know.
Yeah.
Be ready for some bullshit if you're going to be fucking showing your ass like that. That's all I'm saying. So, yeah. I like Sider. I like this guy.
Okay.
Well, now you're right, though. Fez, I think Bunting's going to make it. I think Bunting's going to fucking get landslide.
Well, yeah, I mean, Toronto media.
Exactly, dude. That's what I was just going to say, too. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Kid right. From Anaheim, doesn't stand a chance.
Right.
Sider being in Detroit could help Hockey Town. Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Vezina. Jacob Markstrom, Calgary. Soros. Nashville.
Right.
And Shesterkin in New York.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to run through these stats, and I think this award kind of awards itself. So, Markstrom, led the league in shutouts, 9.
Okay.
5th in wins, 37. 12th in save percentage with 917. 10th in goals against average, 2.22. Pretty good, you know. Top 10 in 3 of the top 4 categories.
Right.
Soros, 9th in shutouts with 4. 3rd in wins, which is huge on an 8th place team.
Mm-hmm.
17th in save percentage. 9th in goals against, 2.64. His save percentage was 0.918. Only 1/1000th higher than Markstrom. You know, it goes to show you how little the margin of error is there.
Yeah.
And then you got Shesterkin. 2nd in shutouts, 7. Goals against, 2.07. Best save percentage, 0.935. 6th in wins with 36.
2.07 goals against average is fuck all insane in this season.
Yeah.
When teams are like scoring 5 or 6 a night.
It is. It's insane. You know, Shesterkin is in the top 3 of 3 of 4 and top 10 in the 4th. I think Shesterkin wins this by landslide.
I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, you know, give it up to Markstrom, veteran in the league, been in and around the league for a long time. Incredible with the shutouts, has much better defense in front of him. 5th in wins, that's a brutal team letdown. 12th in save percentage, though, and then 10th in goals against average. I don't know. I can't get around it. I think it's great that he got nominated, and if he can follow this up with a lights-out, almost world-beating year, maybe. Soros. Insane that he's even fucking nominated. This him and Markstrom, I'm like, where are these guys coming from? Honestly, like, you say, am I that old? These guys, when I first saw both of them, I thought they were trash. I thought they'd be out in 5 years. Yeah. Apparently not. Soros, and it goes to show, 2 Western goalies, and then Shesterkin, that I'm like, oh yeah, of course he's here, right?
Yeah.
That just goes to show, like, my East Coast bias. But you look at, like, you know, Soros, who the protege of Pekka Rinne,
mm-hmm.
who is honestly world beating, one of the most consistent goalies during his career. Soros had an incredible season this year. I don't know if I can get around it. 9th in GAA, 10th in the goals against average are really the ones that. I feel like that's the stat that kind of gets me. Save percentage is.
I don't know. I think save percentage matters more. Because save percentage. I mean, I guess you can argue that they go hand in hand, but save percentage seems to me more of like. You know,
I feel like that's more team-based, though, right? Like,
no, I think goals against is team-based.
Oh, is it?
Because think about it. You win a game 2-1, but the goalie who, you know, let up 2 saved 50, and the other guy saved 22.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you look at, okay, if I'm going to say, like, okay, this goalie is going to give up this many goals in one game, it's, what, 2.07, right?
Yeah.
Possibly. Well, who's going to give us the best chance to win? If you have a goals against average 2.07 and 3.07, who are you going to pick? But one has a better save percentage. The higher GAA has a better save percentage.
Well, yeah, but if your team is keeping shots away, then the GAA is going to go down because the save percentage is going to go up.
Yeah.
If you tell me this guy's going to give up 3 goals if he faces 50 shots, and I say, okay, what if we drop that down to 25 shots? Well, it's going to be 1.5 per game. So then we got to score 2 to win.
But the save percentage doesn't change, does it? So like you said, if it's 30 shots, his save percentage stays the same. If it's 10 shots, his save percentage stays the same? No. I mean, it'll be skewed by the end of it, like going into the game. I don't know. Fuck it.
Maybe. I don't know.
We're messing.
We're getting
the bottom line here is I don't think that there's. Yeah, I don't think. Looking at these three nominations, I don't think that Shesterkin even has competition. To be completely honest.
Okay. Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about shutouts, dude? Shutouts are a team's. You know, as great as it. This is the shittiest part about being a goalie. Is that when you get a shutout, yeah, that's amazing for you, right? But you never, that's not truly it. Like, you know that the boys did good for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel
you
like.
You never really own that.
Getting a shutout's kind of like when they pass you the puck for an empty net hat trick. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, it's the team getting it done.
Right. No doubt. All right, well, are we going to revisit this, like, in a couple weeks or something, whenever they fucking decide it?
Well, man, that's why I wrote it down.
All right, good. Yeah, because, you know, I love... These are really good ones. Obviously, all the stat-based ones are done, so you can look those up. We won't even go for that. But, I think Vezina's probably... If we look back at the ones that we've just talked about, I think Vezina's the most on lock. And I think the rest are really kind of a crapshoot, bro.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Awesome. Good seggy.
Well, that's the end of snack time. I hope you're fulfilled.
Absolutely. All right, Caps fans, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with us throughout the season. We'll be here with you throughout the Stanley Cup Finals. So, you know. Stick with us. We'll be around. We'll be covering it. And of course, if any Caps news pops up, we will also be on top of that shit. We'll revisit these awards. We'll talk about, you know, I don't foresee any cap. Polly, what do you think? I don't foresee any Caps moves until the end of the Cup. Until the Cup's awarded.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, wait and see till the end of the season, see what's available.
Yeah, and not only that, I don't think that maybe if there's going to be a coaching change, I think that maybe we might see something right after the Cup's awarded, but honestly, I feel like we're going to have to wait until training camp.
Well.
Or right before, until we get a coaching change or a player change.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, Caps fans, we love you. If you like us, find a place you can rate us and give us 5 stars only.
5 stars only.
Until next week, Hockey Troll, Poly Cupcakes, sign off.
Bye.
Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Troll on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Poly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Polly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle at Caps Chirp on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network at HockeyPodNet on social and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.